Welcome back, everyone, to the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. My name's Frank Vespi. I'm going to be joined in a moment by Derby Bill Watson. We're going to be talking about the Grade 1 Delaware Handicap and three other supporting races on that card, including the Grade 3 Kent Stakes. Quick shout out to our sponsors, the Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Virginia Thoroughbred Association, Virginia Equine Alliance, and everybody that we didn't mention there. Thank you for being a part of the Racing Biz, and thanks to you, the listener, for checking in with us. Let's bring on Derby Bill Watson, the legendary former Colonial Downs handicapper, who will be sharing his capping insights with us. Derby Bill, welcome.
Yes, sir. Hopefully we'll do a little better in Delaware than I did last week when we ran out of Lasix for my horse and he didn't get to even race in the stakes race. That my top pick there got knocked out by a doctor, which is appropriate because the doctor's usually after me.
Yeah, I hope nobody has the Lasix issue that Suffused had last week at Delaware Park. Let's dive right in. Grade one, we're going to talk about races 7 through 11 at Delaware, but I want to start with the big one. Let's dive right in. The grade one, $750,000 Delaware handicap, one of the very few races with that kind of purses, with that kind of purse for fillies and mares, and also one of the few contested at 1 mile and one quarter, the Great American Classic distance. Bill, what's your thought on this year's Derby Delaware handicap?
Yes, I sandwiched it in nicely between opening day at Del Mar with the Oceanside Friday night going into Saratoga starting up. So they sort of crammed this one in nicely. And it's always been known for the filly and mare's biggest race in the United States, the first state in the United States. So Delaware gets attention this week more than last week, not because of the medication, but I'm on Butte tonight, so I'll just let you know before I start picking, I'm using Butte.
Well, I guess we'll have the vet out to visit with you soon.
Yes, sir. I was very familiar with the Colonial Downs vet in the 100-degree heat. Hopefully it's not 100 at Delaware tomorrow like it has been on the East Coast. The paid-up subscriber here is my little small upset pick here, 2-1, two top horses in here, paid up subscriber, and I'm a chatterbox here. Look, keeps above this field, a short field of six here. Career best form in the grade two romp last time out for the paid up subscriber has me a little bit on edge to place her above on the chatterbox. If I'm the chatterbox, going to go 8-5, a morning line, but should probably go off at even money or even 4-5 when they, after the monster 100K race with the win on June 11th here at Delaware and at the home of the NFL parlay cards, I would classify Delaware Park classy horse here, grade one winner at Parks, grade one winner at Toga last year. No price to my liking here, and I think he's beatable only because of the form of paid up subscriber here. So you're looking at the two horses. To make money, you have to go straight, exacta, straight trifecta. So I like Penwith, 9-2 Penwith here behind him. Touch Gold Bloodline here. So this horse could run forever and ever. And as you mentioned, a mile and a quarter is stretching out a lot of these filly and mares that usually don't go a mile and a quarter. So Penwith, number six here, is my third place for a straight trifecta ticket of paid-up subscriber, chatterbox, and Penwith.
Yeah, I pretty much have to agree with you. This looks to me also like a three-horse race, and the three that you mentioned, again, the one paid-up subscriber, the four I'm a chatterbox, and the six Penwith, those certainly look like the horses to beat in here. And certainly, as you mentioned, very impressive effort last out by paid up subscriber, won the grade two Fleur de Lis. That was her first try around two turns. And as a daughter of Candy Ride out of a street by mare, she's going to have there's every reason to think she wants to run all day. And so this mile and a quarter might just hit her between the eyes here. Why don't we dial back?
Larry Jones loves this track, and I'm a chatterbox. He's won the Delaware handicap before. Larry Jones back in the 2005, I think it was, or somewhere around there. So fully capable of having that horse on top too. So if you want to play them both on top and try to find your third place horse, another one called Mare Long, obviously Todd Pletcher trained here. And anytime I throw Todd Pletcher out of a trifecta, I end up at the ATM machine usually. The big question here is this mile and a quarter, which is a big question for this horse, adding the distance. Despite the Empire Maker bloodline here, I really don't think this horse can go a mile and a quarter. So it's the only reason I tossed her out of it. And you could use him in third place, and it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm no fan of Mei Ling. I think she's just okay. And I think the top three that you identified, I think, are better than just okay in my mind. But you never know. Sometimes the upsets do happen. Let's turn back now to the seventh race, which I know you could build a pick three off of if you're inclined in that direction. It's the $50,000 Hokesson Stakes, 6 furlongs for three-year-olds and up. And this one has drawn, among others, Green Grado, grade three winner at the end of 2015, who has gone fairly dramatically off form in some of his recent efforts. Bill, where are you going to land in the Hokesson Stakes here?
Oh, the Hokesson starts off, as you said, rolling pick threes at Delaware, one of the unique tracks for that. They roll the pick threes and the daily doubles. So you can play pick three after pick three after pick three. If you get knocked out in the seventh, you can try it again in the eighth, the ninth, all the way to the 11th, the stakes race. Your horse there, I had problems with a huge class drop for Green Grado, but a six-year-old with career earnings of 700 Gs is nothing to sneeze about, but this horse is way off form here after a monster 2015, and I agree with you. It's a totally beatable 2-1 favorite in this race. I'm trying the 3 and the 1 here, rocking on by the classy here, Rock Hard 10 bloodline here, just a plotter, just like Rock Hard 10, just a plotter and plotter and just plod. Boring type horse style of race, but 7 for 7 at 6 furlong distance is the key here to going 6 here in a sprint race. This horse is 7 for 7 in the money, and I like that on rocking on by. A very light best play on that horse. The one gives you more value. This one, this boy's share, I love this one. Returned to Delaware last time, won big at 13-1, and career best effort last time out at Delaware, and a horse for the course angle there for the 6-1. And Chief Istan, if you're going 4 deep here, big step up in class here if you're going for this horse about 10-1 or more. So definitely want to beat the favorite in this race to start off a pick three.
Absolutely agree with you on that. Another horse who I might throw into the mix as at least worth a little consideration here is the 7-horse Big Guy Ian. Just was second last out to your guy. This boy's sharp in a race shape that really kind of favored the closer. This boy sharp to run into the pace. This horse goes out to the lead 21-4, 44 and change, and hangs on to second. But his last three on the main track, he's had buyers at 91 or 92, 2 wins in a second. He was off a long time coming into his 2016 debut, and his first two tries in 16 were on the grass. So we can sort of toss those and look to the most recent effort as more indicative of the kind of effort this horse can give. He'll have Alex Cintron in the irons, and he seems to me another horse that, you know, it's worth at least a little consideration, particularly if you might get 12-1 odds on him.
Oh, yeah, very nice price for a Birdstone horse running 6 furlongs. It's very easily could finish in the top three.
And but we certainly both agree on this one. You want to look to beat the favorite here. It's a very vulnerable favorite in Green Grado, the 2-1 morning line selection. Heading into the 8th race now, this is Frank Vespi. We're here with Derby Bill Watson on the Off to the Races podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. The 8th race at Delaware Park Saturday is a $40,000 allowance for horses that have never won three other than, and it's going the somewhat less than classic distance of 7.5 furlongs on the turf for those horses who just can't squeeze out a mile. You get 7.5 furlongs. Which way are you looking in this one, Bill?
Yeah, definitely agree there. The most difficult distance in horse racing here. You don't know if you use a long horse and try to shorten them up, is it short enough? Or you want to bring him back from to 6 furlongs, or you want to stretch out a horse. This is a good stretching point for a young horse trying to get to a mile or a mile and a quarter. But 7.5 is brutal on the turf here. It's not short enough to have a full-out sprint here, so you need a little bit of closing ability here and some speed up front. I went with this one really baffled me here. Nice allowance race to throw in your pick three to mess things up. 7 in the stakes efforts around it. The 7-2, 2 wonders here earned a living at shorter distances here. 7.5 is the tricky part about this horse, but very competitive horse in every race, and I think it's got enough left in him to go 7.5 furlongs. Catch a Rising Star might go as a favorite as 5-2 early line. The son of a monster Virginia Derby upset winner, Red Giant. So the ability to go a mile and a quarter or the 7.5 should be no problem with Catch a Rising Star. Trimming back from trying a little bit longer distance last time should be right in the picture here with Catch a Rising Star. And the curling horse I like a little bit. Curly, curlish figure here. Thomas Proctor, 31%. And Pedrosa, 30%. I mean, just Delaware Destroyers in the words of that great singer. What was his name?
George
Thorogood. Bad to the bone. Yeah, all the way. This horse could be bad to the bone. The number's just very nice at 8-1 on curlish figure.
I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying here. And I also like curlish figure. This is a horse that was toiling on the main track for most of last year, but actually has run 3, you know, not bad races on the turf earlier in her career. She's daughter of Curlin. Her last start, she was up the track of the Grade 3 Comely at Aqueduct. But, you know, she's shown reasonable turf form. Proctor knows how to get him ready to win off the break. And interesting to see Brian Pedrosa get on. Brian Pedrosa winning 30%, completely resurrecting his career during this Delaware Park meet. So should be interesting to see how that plays out. Any love at all for the 8 horse, the Virginia bred Complete Saint?
No. No love in this race. I like the last race, but he's stepping up. So to get a little better competition in this race. I do have a little love for, if you need a long shot, number 6, Sassy Little Cat here, Mr. Kerman Kamanusha up here. Just a very nice 7.5 furlongs last race out. Distance perfect for this horse, and 12-1 is a nicer price than Complete Street.
All righty. We've already talked about the 9th, which is the Delaware Handicap, where we went 1-4-6 in the 9th. And let's turn to the 10th, which is the other graded stake on the card. It's the Grade 3 Kent for 3-year-olds going 1 1/8 miles on the turf. And kind of an interesting group of runners here. Which way are we looking in this one, Bill?
Well, I've got you an upset here. I'm going with horse number 1 here. Mr. Jones loves Delaware Park and been here for a couple years now, and he knows how to ship a horse and have him ready for this horse. He'll play the last two times up I-95. I like, you know, everything in this race. Had traffic issues, just like going up I-95 to Delaware Park from down the south. This horse has been horrible the last 2 races in traffic situations. Gets a clean race here, big late closer here. He's not been able to show what he's showed back when he won the Rushaway win way back 3 races ago. And this one has a solid chance in the upset here. At 10-1 or more, after his last 2 performances, nobody's going to bet on this horse. So it should be 10-1 or more. Inspect Inspector Lindley right next to him. He'll be able to keep an eye on Joe Rosario and on the favorite here. Loved his last effort and a big kick not seen since his maiden race back in February here. So another favorite that I'm trying to beat. Very good day for beating favorites. American Patriot obviously has the Todd Pletcher factor here that I can't throw out of the trifecta this time, although I'd like to for the value. And a big comes in off a big turf win, earns his move up in class here. A second chance at a graded win for Mr. Pletcher here. Definitely my move up for American Patriot here. So that's 6-1 odds on that horse. So here's my top three with a big upset on top with he'll play.
Yeah, and he'll pay is an interesting kind of horse here, and you certainly pointed out a lot of the things. I mean, in the Jimmy Murphy at Pimlico, he had some issues at the start, and Marengo Road just won that race like a really good thing. And the runner-up in that race was Aquaphobia, who comes back and wins the Stanton Stakes. Aquaphobia was 11th in the Belmont Derby in his next start, but he was 11th beaten just four lengths. So, you know, that is a real runner. Nothing wrong with the efforts that Heel Pay has given. Also notable here, you know, Larry Jones hitting 48% at Delaware, and he gets Florent Giroux to come in and ride this horse. Florent Giroux and Larry Jones, 36% strike rate over 2015-16, with a $2 ROI of $2.47. So if you were betting all the horses that they
like when Washington crossed the Delaware, Mr. Jones is on fire.
Yeah, he really is. One horse we didn't mention is, you know, maybe a little interesting at 4-1 is Converge, the grade three winner of the Palm Beach at Gulfstream Park earlier this year. Has not shown quite that since then. He's beat two lengths last out in the Pennine Ridge at Belmont, a grade three event to Camelot Kitten. But he comes down here. It's a Chad Brown trainee, and I think you ignore Chad Brown horses at your peril, especially on the grass. And he brings Kendrick Carmouche in for the ride. Any thoughts on Converge?
Yeah, it's a classy horse. Class breeds well out of this horse. Good chance. I just couldn't go, four or five deep in this one because I actually like Mighty Moe in this race, too. The eight horse here, William Mott, with Edgar Prado returning to the Mid-Atlantic race and riding very well here. And I mean, this horse will love more distance here, being an Uncle Mo horse. This one will go and go and go. So it was between Mighty Mo and Converge for my fourth horse in this race. So I'm not tossing Converge out, obviously. Chad Brown has done me in a few times.
Yes, indeed. All right, that's the grade three. Kent, three-year-olds on the turf, mile and an eighth, and that gets us to the 11th race, which is the final race that we're going to be looking at Delaware Park. It's the $50,000 Carl Hanford Memorial Stakes, mile and a 16th, three-year-olds and up two turns around the Delaware main track. Kind of a little bit of a motley crew we have here, but kind of an interesting crew all the same. The headliner in this race, I guess, is Kid Cruz, 3-2 morning line favorite, horse who had been running in really good form and then really kind of just fired a blank in the grade two Brooklyn last out. Bill, are we beating the favorite here or are we surrendering to him?
I surrender to the best-looking trainer in the field, Linda Rice, bringing this one down. Mr. Ortez up here. No offense to the guys in the race, you know, the guy trainers, but Linda Rice is easy on the eyes for me. Grade three champion, Kid Cruz is easy on the eyes. Just a classy horse. Just love the way this horse is run. Just built to finish in the money here. Back to a level today where this should be just a workout for him after stepping up the stakes levels and coming back here to a, you know, minor league. I call it AAA down here in Richmond or AA. $50,000 stakes race is a lower level stakes. And this horse has been up in class and justifiably the 3-2 favorite here. Behind him, like a couple shots here, if you're going for an exacta value and just straight exacta, maybe the 7 and the 8 I like here for the upsets here. Warrior of the Roses here off a monster claiming optional claim and route by 8 lengths, just tore it up last time out. And 10-1 value there. And number 7, Ain't Got Time. Ain't Got Time here. It was a pace setter. And this one might take the lead in this race and try to push Kid Cruz around the track a little bit with Scott Spieth in to ride for Timothy Ritchie here. I left this horse late fade for this horse for the win, but I like him maybe to hold on to the second. So I'm just going with the 5 over the 6-7 straight exactly.
I'm going to throw another horse into the mix here because I think this is a race in my mind that's going to have some early speed in it. You mentioned this, the 7, the 8. Warrior of the Roses 6 is pretty much of a speed ball. He's been in most of his good races, he's been in front early. And you've also got speed from the 4, Cobell. I think a horse that's a little interesting in this spot is Bodhisattva, who was a 2015 Preakness entrant where he ran way up the track and then they took him to Canada and they couldn't quite figure him out. And then they gave him, Doug O'Neill had him for a little while and that wasn't quite working. But something Doug O'Neill did in March turns out maybe to be the secret. In the first race O'Neill had him, they took him way back off the pace and let him just make one run. And he actually closed pretty nicely that day. And then that didn't quite happen the next two races. Back in Jose Corrales' barn at Laurel Park, last out, middle of June, a pretty decent allowance optional claiming field going a mile and a 16th. He takes way back like he's nowhere even near the rest of the field and then just runs past them like they were tied to a post. I think he's going to get that kind of pace to run at here today, and I think he might be a horse worth a look at 12-1, Taylor Hole on him.
Well, I went back into his bloodline with Talk Is Money. You remember that horse? One of the strangest horses I've ever seen, Talk Is Money. I think Talk Is Money ran in the Kentucky Derby for I can't think of the name of the guy that won, hit the huge pick six at Gulfstream and then passed away.
Oh, yeah. I know who you mean.
He owned and the trainer's crazier than a downtown trip to Baltimore. And they had this Talk Is Money, and this is a bloodline from that horse. But the horse ran in the Kentucky Derby and tried to take him out like Kid thought he was Kip Duvall and lost by about 70 lengths. So that burns a crow in my memory banks, having that bloodline to look at on that horse. But very good value, and this horse is probably better than Talk Is Money, and Talk Is Money ran in the Kentucky Derby.
So there you go. So for the 11th race,
you got to dig deep sometimes.
Pardon me?
You got to dig deep on some of these horses. There's this great thing about horse racing. There's a story for every horse, and there's a background, and there's a history. That's what fascinates me about the sport.
Yeah, no, it's one of the things that makes it fun. And so we're looking at a 5-6-7 finish in this one with Kid Cruz, the 3-2 favorite, is simply too good, says Derby Bill, for the likes of this field. Bill, did you have a pick three or anything picked out that you wanted to mention, or did you want to talk about the Indiana Derby a little bit? Because I know that's a race you've been looking at.
Well, if everybody's enjoyed their day at Delaware Handicap Day and have some money left, this race, the Indiana Derby, is loaded. 13 horses, 12 horses, something like that, on mile and a 16th and going for 500 G's and it doesn't go to 9:41 at night, which is the key there. So if you get home from Delaware and want to flip on the old magical TVG network, TVG1 or TVG2 or whatever, TVG8, 9, whatever you got,
wherever it ends.
Caroline is going up against Cupid as the top two horses out of the Triple Crown. Just a fascinating race here. There's a horse called Playhouse that comes up as my third horse in this race. So, and Cherry Wine was a monster late runner here, and Cupid here, they both line up at 3-1. So they really can't choose who's the favorite in this race. So you might want to take a look at Indiana. Their whole card is pretty good if you got a little bit of extra time. They have the Oaks, the Indiana Oaks before it. And the slots and racing and revenue has really bolstered up Indiana's purses out there. And this is their biggest day. And, you know, I love Derby. So I'm definitely going to watch this Derby and I'd probably throw about a four-horse box on it. Or, you know, the Oaks is the race before it, I believe. So, but there's about $400,000 or $500,000 state bred races tagged in with it, a.k.a. like Maryland Million Day or Virginia Million Day, if they ever had one. There's a huge day in Indiana, so it's nice to have something in the evening, you know, after Delaware if you're up.
All right. Well, sounds good. So there it is, the Delaware Handicap card on Saturday afternoon, and Bill's given us selections for five of the races, including all four stakes, and then your Indiana Derby card at night to carry you through until the wee small hours of the morning. Derby Bill, thank you so much for joining us on Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio.
Always a pleasure. On to San Diego and Del Mar.
Sounds good. Derby Bill Watson, thank you so much, and thanks everybody for listening. Have a great day.